Okay, I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting. Hopefully everybody can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business that it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion on that item has ended. The proceedings of this meeting will be audio and video recorded, except where Council is considering any exempt matters. Members should remember that the microphone system works as a queuing system. If your microphone is lit red, you have precedence. Flashing green is next in the queue, and then solid green. Please do not press your microphone button again when it is lit up red, as you will lose your place in the queue. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments that they may make at the meeting. Okay. Before we start, we have an emergency motion that will be brought at the end of the meeting, and we'll do the vote on that when it comes to that emergency motion, but it will be heard tonight. Item 1, any apologies?
Mr. Chair, we have apologies from Councillors Gibbons, Hart, Declan Murphy, Kate Murphy, Selena Murphy and Tunley.
Okay. Additional to that, any other apologies from the floor? Nope. Okay, just briefly on our chairperson's remarks, I want to start on behalf of the Council to offer our condolences, our entire condolences to the family of the late Caelan Finnegan, who passed away, sadly passed away last week after a one-year battle with brain cancer. I think the whole community of South Armagh across Milan and actually people right across the island gave him a terrific send-off, even in how sad it was for the whole family. Having his last lap of the field that he had played on only last year. And it's very sad that the championship kicks off this year without him there with the team. But on behalf of everybody in this council, we want to offer condolences to his family, his father, Liam and Jeanette, his brother Stephen, Ronan, Liam and Patsy, and his girlfriend, Emily. And they're all in our thoughts at this time. I also want to offer the condolences on behalf of the council to the family of Tracy McVerry Crossan, again, sadly passed away while receiving treatment over in Mexico, passed away suddenly. Tracy was known to many people in this council, many people across the tourism sector. She worked with this council in the intangible cultural heritage experiences, and she will be sorely, sorely missed. So we're thinking of her and her entire family at this time. I want to just briefly mention the staff who put on the Wake the Giant Festival in Moran Point 2 weeks ago. It was an incredible festival, and everyone who worked on it for the weeks and months prior, hats off to you. We had two new giants joining us at the festival, so we had Wee Binion and Carly, and to see the excitement in the kids' eyes when they came out from the side alleyway to join Finn in the festival was absolutely tremendous. We had great weather across the weekend, and it really does make it, and it gets better year on year, so congratulations to everybody from the council that was involved in that. I also want to offer congratulations to the Mourne Chamber Music Festival. I didn't get to it because I was tied up at other events, but David, you enjoyed the festival as deputy. It was a 3-day event and a lot of positive reviews from speaking to David from the audience, and they look forward to that coming back to Newcastle next year. Also, congratulations to the village of Shrigley, who celebrated the bicentenary of the establishment of its foundation in 1824. And I want to join Councillor Kerry Andrews on that. Congratulations, he sent it through to me for chairperson remarks. I also want to congratulate and a big well done to all those who qualified for the All-Ireland FLA in Wexford, and congratulations to all those who were successful and brought home medals to the district, and join with Councillor Roisin Howell, who asked for those to be mentioned, and also particularly the winners in South Armagh. I know the clubs in South Armagh brought home 5 gold medals, and an All-Ireland Senior Pipes champion as well, for the first time in South Armagh's history. So we had a trad night in Cross Milan last week as part of the Lunasa Festival, held by Unborn and Bui. It was absolutely fantastic, the talent that we have across our district. And Unborn and Bui is one of my charities going forward for the year ahead, which will be launched in the coming week or fortnight. I also want to acknowledge the LGBTQ plus women's group for bringing Pride back after a 5-year gap. It was absolutely remarkable. We walked and led the parade together, myself and David, and I invited the Lord Mayor of Belfast, Mickey Murray, down, and the Mayor of Lisburn and Castlereagh, Curtis Dixon, then, for the 4 LGBTQIA plus mayors to walk and lead that parade. I think it's a stunning image to have all of us walking together and sending out a positive message to all those LGBT plus kids across the district. So everybody that was involved in organising that, a huge well done. And hopefully we'll be back next year, bigger and better. It was a very, very quick dash for me to get to it because I had a family wedding in Spain when the dates came out. I nearly died, but I was in Spain the night before, so I had to leave after my cousin's first dance and jump into a rental car and drive across Spain, fly to London, fly to Dublin, and I held the parade back by 15 minutes because it was only in Dublin Airport at 12:30. So that's the reason why. But it was really important to be there, and I really, really enjoyed walking on it. The last thing I want to say in Chairperson's remarks is the Civic Awards. I know we've put an extension on for people to get their nominations in for Civic Awards to today, but we're giving a wee bit more time if people can get their nominations in to Sarah. It's really, really important that we use our role as councillors to acknowledge people across the district for the fantastic work that they're doing. Okay, so moving on. Item 2, any declarations of interest? Nope. Okay, item 3 is the action sheet arising from the council meeting held on the 5th of August 2024. I'm going page by page, page 1, page 2, and page 3. I get a proposal on second or any matters arising from it. Councillor Devlin, propose? Seconder? Okay. Yeah, thank you, Leon. Councillor Sharon.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And I do note that in the correspondence, we do have a response from the South Eastern Trust. And I can take it then if so wish. But whenever we were writing to Roisin Culture's Chief Executive, we were asking that the Trust attend the special council meeting at their earliest convenience. And typically they would attend in October, but given that we would have one in September, her letter does not refer to that request. And I was just asking if that was included in the letter to make sure that we re-emphasise the request to the Trust and do invite them to come to September, given the issue that has arisen and the concern that's in relation to it.
Yeah, thank you, Gareth. Can I get clarity that that request was put forward? And if we can get a response back.
Yeah, that was board follow up again and see if they.
Yeah. Thanks, sir.
Thanks, Gareth. Any other matters arising? We've got a proposal on seconder. Okay. We'll move on to the committees. So item 5 is the minutes of the audit committee held on the 31st of July. Oh, sorry. Going too fast, yeah. I'll take a step back. Item 4 is the minutes of the council meeting held on the 5th of August 2024. And we'll go page by page on this. We've got page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, page 8, and page 9. I get a proposer and seconder.
Chair, happy to propose the minutes as presented.
Thank you, Terry. And can I get a second?
Happy to second, Chair.
Thank you, Gareth. Matters arising. Nope. Okay. Now on to item 5, committees. So we have the minutes of the audit committee held on the 31st of July 2024. And again, we go through page by page. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6. Can I get a proposal on seconder?
Happy to propose.
Thank you very much, Tom. Seconder. Or any issues or matters arising? No. Okay. Item 6, minutes of the Enterprise Regeneration and Tourism Committee, meeting held on the 12th of August 2024. And again, we go through page by page. So we've got page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, and page 5. proposer and seconder?
Happy to propose.
Thank you, John. Seconder.
Julie seconded, Chair.
Thanks, Terry. Any matters arising? Okay. Item 7 is the minutes of the Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee held on the 15th of August 2024. And we've also got, we take 7.1 with that, the minutes of the Special Strategy, Policy and Resources Committee held on the 27th of August 2024. So the 15th of August meeting, we'll go through page by page, page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, 5, page 6, page 7, 8, page 9, page 10, page 11. I get a proposer and a seconder for 7.0. First committee meeting. Thank you, Ed. And a seconder? Sonia. Sonia. Yeah, she is. Okay, any matters arising from the first meeting? I'll take the second one separately. No? Okay. And on 7.1, which is the special SBNR meeting, got pages 1, page 2, two pages. Okay, can I get a proposal and seconder from those that were present at the second special SBNR? Thanks, Una. And a seconder. Special SBNR, Declan. Declan McAdair. Second. Any matters arising? Nope. Okay, item 8 is the minutes of Active Healthy Communities Committee meeting held on the 19th of August 2024. Page by page, we've got page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5. Make it a proposal on second. Thanks, Johnny. P. Jackson, propose. Aoife, second. Any matters arising? Moving on to item 9, minutes of Sustainability and Environment Committee held on the 21st of August 2024. And again, we go page by page. Page 1, page 2, page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7. Those are on seconder. That's me. Thanks, Una. Una McGuinness to propose. And yeah. Thanks, Selena. Councillor Young the second. Councillor McGuinness, Councillor Young, proposing second. Any matters arising? Councillor McAteer.
Yeah, just thanks, Chair. Just on the proposed installation of height restriction barriers, Council car parks, and not disagreeing with the recommendation, but it's alluded to there about the strategy. And I know I've been representation from people who do own campers and caravans and motorhomes about the facilities that the council should have in place, that's in all the councils in these islands. And it's really just to ask for that strategy to be reduced as quickly as possible. I think it's been a long finger now for a brief while. So we'd like to see something happening that those that were not actually, you know, seen to be not camper van friendly or motorhome friendly, because they do bring a hell of a lot of money into our different areas, including some of the rural areas as well. So I think if we get some sort of a date that we would expect to receive that, it would be very useful, I believe.
Sure. Councillor, queries were raised about the motorhome strategy, so that will be brought back to the S&E working group, or the S&E working group for discussion. It will be next month. And I believe the strategy is to be finalised, and there's some joint working to be done with.
Thank you, Sinead. Councillor Clark.
Sure, same subject matter. But no, I welcome the comments by the officers today that we are going to finalise the strategy. The strategy came about for the notice of motion. I brought it in the last mandate. It went through the ERT committee, and from what I can remember, it was pretty light touch. The two areas that sort of met the criteria to look at it was the Castle Park area in Newcastle, and there was an area in Warren Point. And that was sort of being almost like a pilot. And then we would look at the other areas where we could improve the infrastructure, particularly in the rural areas. Because while it is a frustration, obviously, in car parking, you know, car parking is very hard to get, you know, in town centres, particularly during events and busy periods. But there's a unique opportunity, you know, for rural areas, particularly in the off-season, you know, where we can encourage, you know, visitors to come to areas, you know, in a sustainable way moving forward. So I think the best, you know, position is get the strategy right. You know, look at the opportunities that we have. Look at the areas like Ballyhorn and whatever, right up our coastline. There's opportunities to put small amounts of pitches, 4 or 5 pitches in certain locations to take the pressure off, you know, the other honey sort of pot locations. It is cross-departmental also, you know, so it is ERT, you know, it is obviously in regards to the car parking and stuff, it's sustainability committee also. So happy enough with that as a way forward, as long as it progresses quickly. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, thanks for that, Willie.
Thanks, Pete. Just on the strategy, to be quite honest with you, I'm looking forward to seeing something done about it. I do have some concerns. You see the likes in the middle of urban areas like Castle Park and Newcastle. I counted 22 camper vans in it, so I did there the other day. That is ridiculous, so it is, because every camper takes up 2 car parking, so it does. It really is beyond a joke, so it is. And saying that, there is opportunity, so there is, within the council. The likes of Sinead up at Spalga Dam, for instance, I see quite a, you know, number of camper vans up there. Maybe possibly something could be done up there. And in the wider area, to encourage them, not so much in urban areas. That's the issue I would have on it. So with Castle Park, it's got to be a bit of a disaster, so it is. And the likes of the Irish Open coming up now. I think, isn't there a temporary height restriction going in there now for the next few weeks? I actually think that should be made permanent, so it should. That's my thoughts on it. But we can deal with it within the strategy whenever we move forward with it. That's my thoughts, Chair.
Yeah, Glenn. Thanks. If there's anything you need to come back at the end, Sinead, I'll come to you. Laura.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Not wanting to sound like an echo chamber and to repeat what's already been said, maybe just one question, Sinead. In terms of that specific working group that we're going to look at the motorhome strategy, are all councillors invited to that, or is that just SNA committee members, just for clarity?
Sinead, if there's any three councillors made to come back in.
That's not all committee members, councillor. It's a number of four members, both parties in that group.
Might be something that could be useful if maybe, I'm particularly thinking of the issues that we have in the Mourns, if maybe it can come through the DEA or something as well, or maybe the invitation can be extended to some members that want to maybe attend, just given the issues that we're having. I suppose a lot of us have first-hand knowledge, but locally, Sinead, that might be useful if possible.
I can do that. The meeting date is set. It's pre the S&E committee meeting. Check the date. But we can put that out wider, yes.
Happy to take on board all the comments from previous councillor Schneid, and it can be advanced through the strategy, as that we said. Any other issues arising on the S&E committee? Nope. We already have a proposal on Sagner, so we move on to item 10. The correspondence report. Now we have 5 items of correspondence from 10.1 to 10.5. I will take questions on each of them, so just come in and say which one you're going to speak on before we take a proposal on Sagner. We'll be taking a proposal on Sagner for them all because they're all on the one cover sheet. But anybody that has any questions on the correspondence first, they'll take them first. Councillor Finn.
Yeah, it's just in relation to item 10.2. I suppose at this stage, I think I would like to say that we would like a meeting with Mr. Stevenson. I do think in terms of the Minister being able to meet with us at this stage, can we write back and ask, is there at any stage he's willing to meet with us? Because at this point, it just looks like he's unwilling. And to be honest, if that's the way that it is, then fair enough. But I don't accept that anybody's diary is so full. So just, yeah, if we could write back and say that we're happy to meet with Mr. Stevenson, but also include that I suppose we're happy to meet at any stage where, you know, we make ourselves available for the minister. That's all. Thank you.
Okay. So you're proposing to write back? Yep. Can I get a second for that? That's not him. Yeah. Everyone content to write back and schedule a meeting with Mr. Sid Stevenson on the issue? Yeah, I take it that was enough. Yeah, thanks, Councillor Finn. Any other issues on the correspondence? Sorry, Councillor Hammond.
Yeah, it's just in regards to the correspondence from NI Water. It's obviously really worrying that they can't deliver on the amount of, units that, you know, are needed across the north. But I think it's welcome news that they are engaging with the top 20 developers in the north, and then they're also going to try and roll it out to smaller developers, because at the very least this may allow key developments to go ahead and, you know, give a kickstart into the economy and, you know, just maybe get more homes built. So I think that part of it is promising.
I'm thinking our special council meetings with NI Water, maybe 3 months ago. So getting this information out, it would have been good to have them in front of us after getting this information. Councillor Hiller.
Yeah, Chair, just in relation to 10.4, and with an email had went out in terms of the representatives from the local government, the integrated partnership board, so we've taken proposals for that tonight. The deadline has been extended for that, I think, to the 6th of September.
Right.
Yeah. We're taking recommendations from for the night in terms of
Yeah. Sure,
we
just need a list of those people that are going to be expressing an interest. It is an independent expression of interest being managed by the Department of Health, and it does not require necessarily council approval. It will be an interview process as well. They have also just pointed out that the expression of interest is live on CitizenSpace, which is a website, I think, so, and I forward that link to you. If members just want to share the names with Democratic Services this evening, even by email, that would be sufficient for us, sir, for just for our reports.
Yep. Thanks, David. And just for clarity, for what date have the names for? I know you say this evening, but some people will.
This evening.
I do have to, Sarah.
Have
it
just.
This evening?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That we can
agree.
Happy enough, David.
Glenn. Thanks, Chair. Just possibly this is directed at Honour. Just the very last paragraph, that letter from NI Water, the local development plan. With the lack of infrastructure and one thing or another, talking about 20 key developers, you know, they're starting to move with them. We wouldn't really have in South, in this part of South Down anyway, major developers. Is this not going to curtail a lot of what's taking place in the local development plan, the LDP? I know we're moving on with it, so it's not moving that particularly quickly, but it is moving. You know, this is going to make a significant influence on the amount, because I know there was a map came out there, and I know one part of Kilkeel there you can develop, another you can't. All else the same. I'm sure Newcastle's similar too. You know, this is going to make a major impact, so that is, if the NI Water cannot buy the infrastructure.
Thanks, Glenn. Connor?
I think the infrastructure deficit with respect to wastewater is well known across all the council areas, and our council is not immune to them pressures. However, we work on an individual application basis with NI Water to try and develop sort of a wastewater assessment to determine what works may be required on an individual application to allow it to proceed. I would say that will continue, and that's the process agreed with NI Water. However, through the local development plan, there is an opportunity to highlight areas for development and understand what the infrastructure deficit is during that process, and that's what the engagement NI Water suggests within their correspondence. But we work closely with NI Water, and the LDP team will continue to work with NI Water and all the other statutory agencies in the development of the plan.
Glenn?
Just on this particular one, I know that this is not just, I'm just talking about my local area, Kilkeelan out there, but I know Wine Point, there's massive issues there too, so there's development's been held up, so there's, they just can't get the discharge so they can't. Is there any point this council writing back into them and saying there, when do they anticipate some moving forward with this, because the local development plan, there's no point in the local development plan making large swathes of area available for housing. We can't discharge, you know, the water, you know. Is there anything we can do at all, Connor, there, to, you know, to write to them, to ask them some indication? Because the way they're going at the moment, they're, even in 2030, there's a lot of this development can't take place.
Yeah, we can write, if that's the wishes of the members, to write to the water.
I would make that, that's
something to take forward.
And Sir Liam? Yep. Liam's in there, was I?
Thank you. Yeah, happy enough. Thank you, Connor.
Councillor McAteer?
Yes, Chair, thanks. I mean, this compounds the, this letter really compounds the problem again and again. It doesn't look good again for the executive in terms of being able to manage a crisis in any way at all. And we constantly get the cries from help from NI Water, and it doesn't seem to be listened to or answered. And again, you know, people are saying, oh, there's not big developers in our area. There's enough houses in the pipeline to be built in our area that I understand in terms of planning applications and approvals that would actually worry, should worry us all in this chamber about the fact that any house won't be built. That, I mean, you heard figures last week, the housing executive, the need there is. So, I mean, the executive can't constantly bury his head in the sand. They have to provide a solution for the people out there, because all we're getting is one crisis after the next with absolutely no action whatsoever. We're sitting at local council level trying to do our best for our communities. And it's not happening in terms of central government. It just is not happening. And somebody needs to get a grip on themselves. Of course, totally and utterly crisis time. The other thing is, we got an agreement to try to understand locally. The last time NI Water presented here, we got a representative agreed to meet with councillors that I had requested for around in the Newry area to simply understand where the problems are, so as that we can explain to those who contact us exactly what the problem is. Because I know in the area that I live in, you get within a quarter of a mile, you get a wilderness or a buy as such to get into the system and to be allowed to join the system. And yet again, up the road, four or five houses and say, no, you can't join the system. I fail to understand it, and it gives rise to suspicion that some people are being given preference over others in certain areas. And so I think we have a right to know what is going on, and they still haven't come back. And I don't know when they met us. I think it was April or May 10th. And they agreed to do that here at night. Silence again from them. They can contribute. They can do their bit for us, which we asked them to do, and they still haven't done. But maybe we'll just write and remind them of their agreement, what they agreed at our last meeting.
Thanks, Declan. We don't need to take a proposal on that. That's an action from the last meeting with NI Water. So, Sarah, can we follow up with them? They agreed to that action to meet councillors and get a response on that and circulate to all councillors. Content with that, Declan, yeah? Just to write to them and get a response circulate to all councillors. Okay. Yep. Any other questions or issues on the correspondence? Nope. Can I get a proposal on seconder for all five items of correspondence?
That's so proposed, Chair.
Thanks, Terry. Lynn. Terry proposed and Councillor Hannah second. Okay, so moving on to the notices of motion. Item 11 is the notice of motion of the Good Relations Programme, and as in the title, it will be referred to the Good Relations Forum. The motion is from Councillor Truesdale. Under Standing Order 16.1.6. Councillor Truesdale, can you read out your motion and let the council know who's seconded?
This will be seconded by Councillor Young. That this council recognises the vital role of good relations programmes in supporting reconciliation in a society recovering from conflict, bringing communities together, creating shared spaces, challenging sectarian racism and other forms of prejudice, and promoting respect for all cultural identities, strongly condemns the recent violence and targeting of businesses, encourages greater support and investment for sporting and cultural events as a mechanism for uniting local communities, registers its disappointment that an enhanced and fully funded good relations strategy has not been prioritised since the restoration of the Northern Ireland Assembly, further records its disappointment that the reduction in good relations funding granted in 23-24 to councils by the Executive Office has not been reinstated to previous levels, and requests a review from officers on the progress and future opportunities available to enhance good relations programmes in Uri Mór an Domhain to be completed within 6 months.
Thank you, Councillor Truesdale. And can we ensure that the proposal and seconder, Councillor Truesdale and Councillor Young, are invited to the Good Relations Forum, and the date of that will be circulated to them after this meeting? Okay. Thank you. Moving on to item 12.0, which is the notice of motion of addiction support, and that will be heard here at Council tonight, and proposed by Councillor Derry Finn. So over to you, Derry. Let us know who's seconding as well.
Yeah, so I'll just read the motion. Uri Mór an Domhain District Council recognises the impact that addiction has on individuals, families and communities across our district. This council commends the work of those organisations who are supporting people on their path to recovery and will write to the Health Minister and invite him to meet with organisations across the district, along with a delegation of councillors, to discuss how we can best work in partnership to support the invaluable work they do. And this motion will be supported by Councillor Gilbraith. I'd like to thank Council for hearing this motion this evening, and I think we face a very sad truth that alcohol, drug and any other form of addiction in our society has become one of our biggest public health issues to address, and one which has only become worse and more damaging since the pandemic. As of January 2024, statistics show that there has been a 98% increase in the number of drug-related deaths in Northern Ireland over the last decade. While that statistic is stark, behind that statistic, there are families who have lost a loved one, and as we sit in this chamber this evening, I would imagine that many of us, including myself, have in some way experienced addiction within our own family units or our friend groups. Really sadly, I think there's still a stigma about speaking about addiction, and this is something that we as councillors working within our communities must work towards breaking. We should have open conversations about addiction, particularly to let anybody know, let anybody who is out there struggling with an addiction know that there is support and help out there for them. It's incredibly important that as a council we support organisations working across the district, both in the community and voluntary sector and those working within our health trusts. I recently had the opportunity to meet with representatives from Davina's Arc. Davina's Arc offer hope and new opportunity to those in our society who are affected by the curse of addiction, and having attended a number of their events with other colleagues of mine from across Newry, you really can see how critically important the work that they do is. I'm really pleased to have heard from them this morning, actually, that the Chair of the Health Committee at Stormont is also working towards securing a meeting with the Health Minister, and I hope that our council can tie in with this work, because I think it's really important that we seek collaborative and innovative ways to support their work, particularly at a time when our public finances are so incredibly stretched. Davina's Arc are, of course, just one of a number of organisations such as QMURA and Alcoholics Anonymous who work across the Greater Newry area. And I hope this evening this motion provides us the opportunity to show that as public representatives, we support and stand in solidarity with those working within the sector, as well as people and families who are facing addiction all across our district. Thank you.
Councillor Finn. Councillor Galbraith.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks, Councillor Finn, for bringing us this evening. Look, we're all aware of the invaluable work organisations provide, not only to support the person trying to recover from addiction, but also to support the family members who also suffer. From speaking to some families over the last month or so, I have learnt it is vital that we help everyone involved, and that being the individual, the family and the community. Recognising the early stages of addiction, in which the chances of success and recovery are greatest, the families believe this in turn leads to less of a chance of serious health issues, family breakdowns or even job loss, and that it might even take some of the pressure off our already struggling health service. Many people would greatly benefit from this second chance of life, and I've seen the advantages of this firsthand, so just more than happy to second this this evening.
Councillor Hannan.
Thanks, Chair. Sinn Féin will be supporting the motion, and thanks to Sir Finn for bringing the motion to the Chamber this evening. I think you're right in what you're saying. There's very few families who will not have been touched by the ravages of addiction in whatever form that it presents itself. And only last month we sat here and we discussed the threat to Ward 15 locally, and thankfully there has been temporary measures put in place there. Now we'd need to see it being ratified into something more permanent. And it's good to hear you mentioning the likes of Davina's Arc and Cuinwara, who are, I think Cuinwara are also celebrating their 50th anniversary, as our friends of Ward 15 this week. And without these type of organisation, who are the third arm of the health service, you know, people will die and people are being saved by the work that they're carrying out. And as you rightly pointed out too, that families are being saved, which is often where people are forgotten. It's the families that suffer as well as the person who is going through the addiction. So happy to support and thanks for bringing it into the chamber.
Glenn.
Thanks, Chair. We in the DUP will be most certainly supporting this. Unfortunately, the problem with addiction, and this is really a lot of the time is a hidden agenda, so it's intended to be kept quiet. So it's only starting to be actually, in the last 10, 15, 20 years, it's come to the fore. One member of a family could have this problem, and to be quite honest with you there, it affects everybody in the family, so it does. And the impact is way, way beyond that, so it is. And I know in South Down here we have a fairly high suicide rate, so we have, which is possibly related to this. I would say I'm certain it is related to this. And the one thing I do be slightly disappointed about at times, the charitable sector is nearly taking a lot of the lead in this a lot of the time, so it is. I think the government actually needs to be more proactive, so they do. They need to put a little bit more investment into it. Lives can be saved, as Una has said. And I tell you, without massive effort, a big difference could be made. And the charitable sector there, who are struggling at this moment in time to sustain themselves, need all the support they can get. So they're definitely, most surely, that we will be supporting this.
Thank you, Glenn. David?
Yep, thanks, Chair, and thanks to Councillor Finn for bringing forward this motion this evening. It's obviously a very important issue for many families across the district, particularly if they have a loved one going through this difficulty at any present or given time. And I think, listen, we are all very acutely aware of the local charitable organisations and different, you know, bodies that provide support in terms of trying to assist anybody suffering from addiction with across the district. But I think, you know, if we can find a way through discussions with central government of trying to improving that service through the executive, through discussions with the health minister, we should aspire to do that because, and I've said this numerous times, you know, one of the key principles of our council in terms of our, you know, plan of actions, I suppose, over the period of our term is to look after the health and well-being of our people. And if we can serve in any way in terms of trying to bring people together, bring forward better services, and the services already, as I've said, are vital that are there, but if we can find a way of improving that further to make sure that anybody suffering from addiction who are going through an extremely difficult period in their life, and that has obviously effects on the family as well, if we can do anything at all to try and improve that for those families across the district, I think it's incumbent upon us to do that. And if that can be commenced by discussions with the Health Minister and trying to find a practical way forward in terms of how we can try and meet the aspirations that are in your notice of motion, Councillor Finn, I think we should. It's incumbent upon us to do that, and I hope certainly the Minister will look upon any request favourably, you know, going forward if and when we make that request to him. So very happy to support him. Thanks for bringing that forward. Okay.
Yes, Councillor Howie.
Yeah, Chair, not to add too much more, just echo some of the sentiments that have been said throughout the Chamber tonight. You know, we are also happy to support the motion tonight. And, you know, as has been said, addiction services do provide that essential support for many people and families across our district. And there's been a number of great organisations that have been mentioned tonight that provide that service. And, yeah, so I do feel it is important to write to the Department and get their support in order to sort of tackle this issue in our area and provide essential support. So, yeah, we're very happy to support.
Thanks, Councillor Eddy. And before we go to the vote on it, Derek, do you want to sum up?
Just to say, I suppose on a personal note, this is an issue that's really important to me. So thank you all so much for supporting it. And I really look forward to working with everybody to help, I suppose, improve the services. And thank you all so much.
Thank you, Derry, and obviously agree and commend the work of all those organisations that save many thousands of families across the district. So whatever we can do to make it a wee bit easier to work with central government, what we do. Can we assume that we've got full support right across the chamber since all parties have indicated their support? Yep. Yep, motion passed. Thank you. Item 13 is the notice of motion fast track cities, and this will be heard tonight in council. And the motion is being proposed by Councillor Feehan.
Gillian, if you can read out your motion and tell us who's seconding.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. So the motion is that this council recognises that ending the HIV epidemic requires a comprehensive approach that allows all those in need to access quality life-saving treatment, enhances prevention, care and support for services for HIV, support services for HIV, tuberculosis and viral hepatitis. Council further recognises that integrating these services into sexual, reproductive and mental health services is critical to achieving universal access to healthcare. Seeks to eliminate stigma and discrimination by building on scientific evidence, understanding that successful HIV treatment and viral suppression prevents HIV transmission, which can help to reduce stigma and encourage people living with HIV to initiate and adhere to HIV treatment. Acknowledges by working together, cities and municipalities can accelerate local action towards ending the HIV, TB and viral hepatitis epidemics globally by 2030. As called for by the new urban agenda, we will leverage our reach, infrastructure and human capacity to build a more equitable, inclusive, prosperous and sustainable future for all our residents, regardless of age, gender, sexual orientation and social and economic circumstances. Therefore, this council will sign up to the Paris Declaration supporting the Fast Track City's aim of eliminating stigma associated with HIV and AIDS, as well as aiming for no new HIV diagnoses by 2030. The motion will be seconded by Councillor Andrews.
Killian. Terry or Killian, do you want to speak to it? Or I get you to switch off your light.
Sorry, Una. Yes, I'm happy to speak to it, if only very briefly, because I think most of the subject matter is covered in the motion itself. I do think that this bringing this motion before the council today is important for two reasons. First of all, to destigmatise. I understand there are three issues talked about within the motion, but to destigmatise HIV and AIDS as a condition. I note, Chair, that at the start of your remarks, you talked about the transformative imagery of Newry Pride on Saturday and how maybe even 10 or 15 years ago that would have been unimaginable in this part of the world. I do think that while progress, a lot of progress has been made, there are certain stigmas that still exist out there, and I think that HIV diagnosis and HIV status is one of them. I think the really clear thing from a public policy and a public health perspective is that not only can the numbers of new HIV diagnoses be suppressed and diminished, it can actually be eliminated altogether. Not only that, but HIV in years gone by would have been a death sentence for so many people, particularly people in the gay community, and that is no longer the case either. I mean, the treatments and the resources required to eliminate contraction and transmission and indeed eliminate deaths from HIV are there. It's not about reinventing the wheel. It's not about investing billions of pounds in medical research. It's actually about connecting people who are at risk with the resources and the treatment that they need to live long and fulsome lives, that this is a disease that can be managed and it is no longer a death sentence. I think there is still an awful lot of work to do in reminding and reassuring people that that is the case. And I think that we have a burden on us as leaders in our local community to project that message really loudly and clearly from this council and this chamber, that there's absolutely no shame in HIV and there's absolutely no reason to keep it hidden, because it is treatable, it is preventable. And I think that that's something that we should all put our support behind. So thank you very much.
Thanks for that, Killian. Terry?
Thanks very much, Chair. And I'd second Councillor Killian Fahan's motion. I do welcome the motion. And as Killian said in his submitting the motion for the council to look at, you know, the wording in the motion sums everything up. You know, and I do support and endorse that we do support the Fast Track City's aim of eliminating the stigma associated with HIV and AIDS, and as well as aiming for no new HIV diagnosis by 2030. And I know over the past lot of years there has been a lot of work done in relation to providing preventative medicines and treatments, etc., to try to eradicate this problem. But I do hope, anyway, that, you know, that aim can be achieved by 2030. So I'm happy to second the motion that Councillor Fahan has submitted. Thank you.
Thanks, Harry. Una?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. Just to say, Sinn Féin will be supporting the motion, and I'm glad that it's been brought into Newry Morning Down. Our former Sinn Féin mayor in Belfast City Council was one of the first to pledge to this initiative back in April time. So signing the pledge is going to encourage conversations about the continued risks and impacts of HIV and the need for ongoing awareness. And it's also going to open up the conversations and really allow people to take advantage of the support that is out there. So we're very happy to support this evening.
Thank you, Una. David.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, Alliance is fully supportive of this motion on the Council standing up to the Paris Declaration. Alliance Party is proud to endorse this initiative, which aligns with the Fast Track Cities' aim of eliminating the stigma associated with HIV and AIDS and achieving no new HIV diagnosis by 2030. The Paris Declaration represents a bold commitment to creating healthier, more inclusive urban environments. By supporting this motion, we are taking a significant step towards addressing the public health challenges that affect our communities. We believe that by eliminating the stigma and discrimination, we can foster a society where everyone feels valued and supported. But this requires a concerted effort from all sectors of society, including us, local government, healthcare providers, and community organizations. So happy to support this motion.
Yeah, thank you, David. Is everybody in agreement with the motion as is worded? Yeah. Yeah. Enough. Okay. Motion passed. And just to say on that, my first week as chairperson, I met with Positive Life. And as Ina says, Belfast had signed up to it earlier in the year, but Derry has also signed up, so with the Ford City / District to sign up to it, and I'll be working with them throughout my term to raise awareness around testing and publicly doing testing myself to raise awareness of the issue, because to destigmatise issues like this, you've got to speak up and visibly show your support. So thank you very much for everybody's support on the motion. Killian, is there anything that you want to say on summing up? No, happy enough? Okay. Thanks very much. Okay, so now moving on to, we have a notice of motion, an emergency notice of motion, and in order to hear the emergency notice of motion, there will need to be a suspension of standing orders, and this requires a qualified majority vote, which is not less than 80% of the members present and voting. So I'm going to hand over to Sarah to go through the votes she called out.
Okay, and Councillor Andrews?
Four.
Councillor Bowsey?
Four.
Councillor Brennan?
Four.
Councillor Byrne?
Four.
Councillor Campbell?
Four.
Councillor Clark?
Four.
Councillor Devlin? Councillor Enright?
Four.
Councillor Feehan?
Four.
Councillor Finn? Councillor Finnegan?
Four.
Councillor Gilbreath?
Four.
Councillor Gibbons is absent. Councillor Hanlon? Councillor Hannah?
Four.
Councillor Hart is absent. Councillor Harrell? Councillor Howie?
Four.
Councillor Jackson? Councillor Kearns? Councillor King?
Four.
Councillor Larkin?
Four.
Councillor Lee Searchner?
Four.
Councillor Lewis?
Four.
Councillor McGuinness?
Four.
Councillor Mathers?
Four.
Councillor McAteer?
Four.
Councillor McAvoy? Councillor O'Hare?
Four.
Councillor... All the Councillor Murphys are all absent. Councillor Quinn?
Four.
Councillor Riley?
Four.
Councillor Rice?
Four.
Councillor Wan?
Four.
Councillor Sharvin?
Four.
Councillor Taylor?
Four.
Councillor Chunley's absent. Councillor Treesdale?
Four.
Councillor Young?
Four.
That's unanimous, then, Chair.
Yeah, thanks for that, Sarah. So we have a qualified majority and standing orders will be suspended to hear the motion. So the motion has been proposed by Councillor Aoife Finnegan. So if you can read the motion, tell us who's seconded and speak to it.
Thank you, Pete. This will be seconded by Councillor Anya Quinn. This council notes with concern the recent decision by the British government to cut winter fuel payments. To write to British government raising their concern at the cruel cuts to this payment, write to the Minister of Communities asking that he prioritises the anti-poverty and fuel poverty strategies. The most vulnerable in our society need to be protected. It is deeply concerning that one of the first acts of this new British government is to cut cruel payments for pensioners. In a letter to the British Prime Minister, all executive parties have collectively highlighted deep concerns that one of the first acts of the new British government is to cut these payments. Working every day in a constituency office, I see firsthand that people are already struggling with the cost of living, including increased fuel and energy bills. The new British government needs to leave behind the failed Tory austerity policies of the past 14 years and work to protect workers, families and public services. It is essential that everything possible is done to protect those in need. Our collective focus must now be to ensure those pensioners who are most in need of the winter fuel payment receive it in a timely manner. It is vital that the Executive continues to do all in its power to protect those in most need, and I urge the Communities Minister to bring forward the anti-poverty and fuel poverty strategies as soon as possible. I understand the difficult position the Executive, and in particular the Communities Minister, is in, and it is imperative that we understand the origin of these cruel cuts is the British Government at Westminster. Or may let me August.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. And certainly the SDLP do agree that the most vulnerable in our society do need to be protected. But certainly, in our opinion, the only way that we can do this in this instance is to reverse the decision and restore the winter fuel payment support. It's important to state that this is not just a decision by the Communities Minister. It was a decision made by the Executive themselves, which is made up of more than just the one community minister in making this decision. We could be writing to the full executive, right from the First Minister, Deputy First Minister, but I propose an amendment that we write to the Communities and Finance Minister to reverse the decision and clearly state the impact that this will have on the most vulnerable in our society. With the increasing cost of energy, this cut goes deeper and will be truly felt. With no programme for government, it's not surprising that the Executive are incapable of making a decision and not diverge from the UK Government. It would be important that the Community Minister and Finance Minister work together to restore support to those vulnerable in our society. Only today, GPs have warned of the risks to pensioners with higher rates of chest infection, given the cut and the further deeper pressure that will have on our NHS here in Northern Ireland. Minister Archibald actually got more money from the Treasury. My question is, where is that being spent? Or what has the Executive done through discussions with the UK Government to actually mitigate this decision? We as a Council also have a role in promoting the Make the Call service to ensure those that are eligible as receiving the correct benefits are aware and are encouraged to apply. Chair, as I say, I want to propose an amendment that we write to the Communities and Finance Minister to ask that they reverse the decision with our clear statement that the impact that this will have on the most vulnerable in our society. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Sharvin. So you have proposed an amendment.
Yeah.
If you've got a second for that, Councillor Finn. Councillor Finnegan, do you accept the amendment as proposed? To additionally add, also writing to the Finance Minister to reverse, to work to reverse this cut and commit to working with the Communities Minister on this issue. Can everybody switch off the lights? I have Councillor Hannah Taylor and Riley. I'll take a list of it.
Yeah, I won't be supporting your amendment, Mr. Sharp, and I think we can't get away from the position that we are in. And as I said before, that these cruel cuts are as a result of the British government. The British government need to support our financial system by raising the block grant, and they have said this themselves. It's your sister party that's implementing this Tory policy and more austerity. So instead of for them, you should be challenging them. That's my position.
Okay, it's unacceptable. We go to a vote on the amendment. So the amendment, as articulated by Councillor Sharvin, I'm going to get a roll call here, right through the chamber. I have to move the amendment first. Yep. Derek, do you want me to read out what I wrote down what you said? Or the amendment was to additionally add in You also write to the Finance Minister to reverse this cost and commit to working with the Communities Minister on this issue, additional to the Communities Minister and the UK Government.
So to write to the Communities and Finance Minister to ask that they reverse the decision with a clear statement that the impact this will have on, will be on the most vulnerable in our society.
You happy with
it? Yes, that's right.
Okay. We can probably do it with a show of hands first, and we'll take it from there. So those that are for adding the amendment into the motion. Okay. And those against? Keep your hands up so we can get a count. And any abstentions? And no abstentions. Yes, the amendment falls. Next, Councillor Hannah.
Oh, sorry, Chair. I had another proposal, and given the proposal was not accepted, I would propose that we would write to all the executive parties to ask that they work together to find a solution to this. That certainly, given the opinions and shared tonight, and to respond to Councillor Finnegan, our MPs who do take their seats are working with the UK Government to try and find a solution. So let's hope that the executive parties in Northern Ireland will work together to find a solution as well. So, Chair, that would be a proposed amendment, and I'd like a recorded vote on that.
And I'll second that.
Yep.
All right, I don't want you starting any
trouble. Opposed and seconded by Councillor Andrews. Councillor, can everyone switch off the lights? I do have a list. Okay, Councillor Finnegan, do you accept the amendment to write to NI Executive put together on this issue? Let you, yeah. If everyone switches off the light, I will let you come in before we go to the vote. No, you're next after it, but we have to deal with amendments as they come.
Chair, it's for the person who's making the motion to consider the amendments.
Maybe just to make this a little bit easier, because there's an amendment that came across the floor there, and let one speaker to come in if you need clarity or something that you need to say on this before to understand what you're accepting or may not be accepting. So, if you want to come in and.
Yeah, well, it's just to sort of clarify, I mean, we're asking, or SLP are asking, to write to the executive parties when the executive parties are actually writing to the British government to try and get more funding in order to allow the executive to be able to deliver this programme in the way they want to. So I don't really see the value in writing to the executive when they already have sent a joint letter to the British government asking for the assistance to come and the financial capabilities to be there. And also to make the point, Councillor Sharvin, Sinn Féin had a huge mandate in the last election, which you will be well aware of, not to take receipts. So just going to make that point.
Thanks, Gareth. Just to come back and clarify that point.
Yeah, thank you. It is a parallel process, Chair. You know, is it the concern that our opinion of Newry Moore and Down District Council isn't going to be valued enough by the executive by not writing to them, and our voice won't be listened to? Whereas if we actually write as a council, we are clearly stating to them the opinions of many of people impacted by this right across our district. I think it's vitally important that we do write to the Northern Ireland Executive, and yes, fair and well that they can write to whoever they want, but we as a council have a role and responsibility to the people of this district to represent them and to write to those that are making these extremely difficult decisions, but the wrong decisions that are attacking the most vulnerable in our society.
Thanks, Councillor Sharpin. Councillor Finnegan, do you accept the amendment?
Yeah, thank you for clarity, and I will accept that.
Okay. Good. So that's the motion as amended. We're going to go back into the list of speakers. We've asked for a recorded vote on that, but...
there's only a recorded vote if the amendment wasn't accepted.
Yep.
Okay, happy enough, Councillor Sharpin?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, everyone content? Move on. Okay, Councillor Hannah. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. Aoife, this motion is a very important motion, so it is, to be quite honest. And I know it's our Minister, Gordon Lyons, that's the Economy Minister at the moment, but as Councillor Sharvin has said, that the Executive has made the decision, so it is. Just listening, coming down the road in the car, I know our MPs over in Westminster at the moment are working very hard, even should it be there to mitigate it, this problem a little bit, so would there have to change to, you know, the threshold where the cold water payments actually cut in and be a little bit more flexible over there. It could make an awful difference to a lot of people here, sir, so they could. At the moment, listening to what I've heard today, it's going to cost £44 million, that is there, for Stormont to actually cover what Westminster has removed. The Minister at the moment in the communities is facing £110 million of an overspend as it is. So where we're going to get the money from, I don't know. There could be some large projects that might have to be put in the back burner for a number of years. I do not know what's going to take place. I don't. And on the elderly themselves, it does make an awful difference. It is whenever you're sitting... the threshold is around £218 a month. There's not many people can live on £218 a month. The average pension, I'm not sure what it is now. I'm sure it's in around that, sort of, a wee bit less than that. I know quite a few there is not actually getting the £200. But at the same time, that small payment, it's not a small payment, it's, what is it, £300. And then does it not trigger into whenever there's extra cold weather? There's more money that comes available. Is that all gone now? I think it is. So at this moment in time, it's a major issue. So the Stormont needs to face up to it. And at this moment in time, but Una has said there, it's London there that actually is going to have to stump up this. But the new Prime Minister, I don't know whether he's trying to make a point or what he's trying to do. Conservatives were always the ones that were the target before. It's the British government now is the target, but they are ultimately the paymasters here. So, but I think it's a very vicious attack on the elderly. So it needs to be reversed or mitigated in some way that not as many people are impacted. That's my thoughts, Chair. So that's where we're at.
Thanks, Ben. David.
Yep. Thanks, Chair. Last week, my party colleague, Andy Allen, MLA, he's our party community spokesperson. He actually wrote directly to the Prime Minister following on from the formal introduction of their winter fuel payment regulations in England and Wales, because he was very conscious of the impact, the difficult impact that would have on the Northern Ireland Executive. And that's obviously came to pass following on from the decision taken late last week. The Executive really found itself, I suppose, in a position where they either maintain parity with England and Wales, or else paying tens of billions of pounds to preserve the universal approach to winter fuel payments that was in place in Northern Ireland. And that all had to be found within an already challenging budget environment. And listen, I understand there are some who would argue that the universal distribution of the winter fuel payment is unsustainable, as there may be some who financially don't require it. But suppose the position that the Executive has found itself in now, following on from the decision taken by the Prime Minister and the Labour government, that risks now leaving many pensioner households who rely on this payment to keep their homes warm facing significant hardship. And from a public health standpoint, that's concerning, because it removes that assistance and has the potential to worsen health inequalities that we experience and increased pressure on the NHS as older people find themselves unable to afford sufficient heating and therefore facing greater health risks. So these outcomes are both socially and economically detrimental, and we should be always conscious of that. But the executive has found itself in a very difficult position as a result of that. And I certainly hope that any representations that can be made, obviously we'll make our viewpoint very clear as a council tonight, but any direct representations that we can make to the Prime Minister, to the Treasury, to look at the situation that Northern Ireland now finds itself in, that can be looked on favourably to allow us to at least find a solution that works for those that are going to be detrimentally impacted, particularly the people that find themselves in most hardship within our society here in Northern Ireland. So the motion, I expect it to receive universal support here, but I certainly hope that any representations that are made that the Prime Minister and the government look at that in the right way and find a solution that works for everybody here. So thank you, Chair.
Thanks, David. Councillor O'Reilly.
Thank you, Chairman. Chairman, I think a lot of people thought whenever the UK got a socialist government with such a massive majority that they would try and improve the lot of the ordinary people. And what we've seen is just unbelievable. And we've seen Starmer turn into a warmonger, promising Ukraine billions upon billions of pounds every year for the next 100 years, he said, from the UK to fight a war with Russia. And then we've got illegal immigration costing £5 billion a year just for accommodation. And whenever the UK people say, we're concerned about this, you're branded far right.
Councillor Reilly, you're a bigot. Keep it to the motion.
Chairman,
I understand you're talking about finances and link it, but don't go off on a tangent on this. Keep it to the motion.
Chairman, you're there to chair the meeting. You're not there to dictate to me, and I will not allow you to dictate. So just you watch your mannerisms in this chamber, Chairman, or I'll be very concerned that I may have to do a report on you.
I'll reiterate what I said.
Chairman, no, Chairman, you can't dictate to people what they say in this chamber if it's legal. And what I'm saying is completely legal, and it's relevant to what is going on.
I'm asking you to keep it relevant to the motion.
So I'm telling you that the people who built this country from the ground up for the last 60-odd years, 80 years, they're being denied a cold weather payment, while people who never paid into the system here are being taken and put in an accommodation that costs more than the annual fuel allowance for the whole United Kingdom. Chairman, the thing about it is, it's just sickening to be branded far right, to have concerns, legitimate concerns. That's what I'm getting across, Chairman. And Starmer and this government have to start listening to the ordinary people. The ordinary people. Chairman, the Republic of Ireland has a cold weather scheme, but it is very heavily means tested. But the thing about it is, if you do qualify, you're well looked after. So I'm not completely opposed to means testing, because believe it or not, I'm almost a pensionable age. I know people won't believe that to look at me, but I am. And that was meant to be funny, Chairman. So, why are you looking at me like that for? You're very dictatorial, Chairman. You're very, very dictatorial. And you have to remember, Chairman, a council chamber is a place where people are allowed to express themselves, their views and opinions, and the opinions of the people that they represent. It's not an SDLP playpen where you can try and suppress the views of other people who hold different views to you. And, Chairman, I'm deadly serious with this. You have to reflect all the views of the community and all the political representation. But, Chairman, what I'm saying is, if a country's nearly bust, as Starmer saying the UK is, I, for one, would not mind losing my cold weather payment. If it was going to go to use the system that they do in the south, where somebody who really genuinely needs it got that £300. So, Chairman, that's the way I'm looking at it now. And as I say, there's not very much that the Northern Ireland Executive can do whenever we're told that the system's short of money. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Councillor Reilly. And just to make it very, very clear,
We have suspended standing orders to hear an emergency motion that is extremely important, tabled by Councillor Finnegan, and I want to keep the debate on the emergency motion. And that is the simple point that I make. I'll make it to any councillor in this chamber. We're here to talk about Councillor Finnegan's motion and not go off and talk about other issues. If it's not linked to it, I do have to step in and bring it back to the debate. Yeah, thanks, Councillor Riley. Councillor Fussell.
Thank you, Chair. I'll just be sticking to the emergency motion. Councillor Finnegan, thank you for bringing this motion. We support it, and I'm glad also that you took the second amendment and not the first one, because it's not as simple as a reversal. There will be consequences. Public finances in Northern Ireland are severely stretched, and the cost of breaking parity on the winter fuel payment would have meant less money on the spend of healthcare, schools, policing, justice and other services. With pension credit being the main qualifying benefit for the new winter fuel payment system, we need urgent work from the Department of Communities to boost uptake. Around 28% of eligible families in Northern Ireland are not receiving the pension credits, according to the latest data, and addressing that must be a priority for the Department for Communities. And I know that this final point, everybody probably knows this, but I want it for the record. Older people who are struggling with fuel costs can also apply for help through discretionary support, which provides grants and loans to help with living costs for those in severe financial hardship and has a considerably wider eligibility in terms of annual income compared to pension credit. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Jill. So that's all parties across the chamber. Can we take it that we've got agreement unanimously right across the chamber for the emergency motion as amended? Yep. Yeah, Aoife, is there anything you want to say on someone else?
Not much more, no, just that I'm glad it is passed because we do need to continue to look after our most vulnerable and especially those that are just outside of the threshold for pension credit and the qualifying benefit. So, and thank you, Councillor Drysdale, for that piece of information. That is good to know. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Finnegan, and thanks for tabling the notice of motion.
We don't have to worry.
No. Okay, that's the end of the meeting. Safe journey home.